The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there. Yes, it is a weekend full of mixed martial arts action. We got Bellator going down in a matter of moments, less than an hour. Invicta coming up tonight, their return. But tomorrow the UFC is back at the Apex with a fantastic bantamweight main event between Rob Font and Cody Garbrandt. Some very important fights coming up tomorrow at the Apex. We welcome you to the UFC Vegas 27 live preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck, being joined by the Prince of Positivity after his hard-fought appearance on Between the Links. A lot of people thought AK won yesterday. Let's be honest. A lot of people thought that he got the hose job yet again, but he is here. Preview this event tomorrow. AK, how are you, my friend?
Oh, hello, everyone. Sorry, guys, I'm having some crazy audio problems, so I actually didn't hear anything that Mike just said there, but I assume it was all complimentary towards me and towards this, towards Saturday's show and towards everyone else in MMA Fighting and all of you listeners. So I'm just going to go thumbs up while I work on these audio problems.
This is great. Jose couldn't make it. He's having problems. AK can't hear what anybody's saying. I don't know how we're going to preview a card when AK can't hear what anybody's saying, but we will soldier on as usual on the ones and twos. Casey Lydon joins us, the baddest stash in MMA media. How are you, my friend?
Okay. Who are these people that said AK won? So we have AK could have said that. That's one person. AK's mom. That's two people. So, okay, we got two people thought AK won. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Technically, yeah. That is
people. You can also, I mean, look, I'm saying the comments are everything. And maybe I was only noticing the ones in support of me. Look, I looked at the comments. I'm just saying. I saw a lot of AKs. I saw a lot of letter A's. I saw a lot of letter K's. That's it. But, you know, that's not important. Your verdict is what matters. There was a lot of A's and a lot of K's.
Okay.
It's okay. AK, you are very popular in the comments. I just got to say. I
mean, oh, my God. Chinmaya Panda, thank you so much. Thank you, Antoine Willis. Casey, we can't. Thank you, everyone. It's not my birthday. It's never my birthday. But thank you, wherever you are. Stop it. I know. Ricky, it just sneaks up on you. It's amazing. It just sneaks up on you.
AK is 430 years old.
Even when my audio goes out, at least I can read those messages. So there we go.
Yes, very, very kind folk wishing AK a happy birthday, bud.
So lovely.
It's a big night for the bantamweight division tomorrow. It's a big couple of months for the bantamweight division, but it kicks off with Rob Font versus Cody Garbrandt, the main event. And I talked about this on Between the Links yesterday. I feel like this fight is flying way under the radar, despite being a main event for a UFC card. I mean, this one should have been promoted a lot more. You got Rob Font looking to get close to a title fight. You got Cody Garbrandt looking to stay on the track of victory after getting off the schneid against Rafael dos Anjos. This is a very big fight at 135 pounds. We don't know what's happening with Aljamain Sterling. We don't know when that rematch is going to happen with Petr Yan. There are reports out there that TJ Dillashaw versus Corey Sandhagen is rebooked for July 24th. I can tell you from what I have heard, that is not 100% done just yet. Penn has not gone to paper on both ends of that fight, but we can assume that that's the target at this point. So, AK, your thoughts on this main event, the promotion of it, and just your overall thoughts of it altogether, just from a stylistic perspective.
Yeah, look, I don't know if it's us. Maybe we haven't been on top of the coverage or not, but it does feel like what should be one of the big dominoes to fall in this division. And again, we keep talking about how hot this division is and you know, how just we'd like to see it keep moving, which is a little difficult, you know, with Aljamain Sterling, of course, taking just a bit of time off to recover from an injury and Petr Yan waiting for his what we assume will be an immediate rematch. We don't know yet. But yeah, and then any number of guys could line up in that number one contender spot. It was, again, we assumed it was to be Sandhagen and Dillashaw, but like you said, we know that got postponed and hopefully is about to be rebooked soon officially, but we'll see. We're still waiting to hear back on that. Then as Font and Grant on Saturday, should anyone else be unavailable? I don't think anyone would complain if Font or Grant gets knocked out first round, second round, gets on that mic, calls for the title shot, goes through all the motions. You could see one of these be the next challenger. Again, it should be the Sandhagen Dillashaw winner, and it should be, I think, Petr Yan, of course, getting a rematch first. But that line is not set in stone. That line can absolutely be jumped. Font and Garbrandt have the opportunity. Maybe the UFC doesn't see it the same way. You know, they've had kind of some weird plans for Garbrandt. They love him, obviously. They're huge fans of him. Always putting him in main events, big fights. But again, there's also like he was supposed to fight for the flyweight title with Figueiredo, and that just didn't happen because he got injured. So I don't know. I don't know if they see him, if they're necessarily saying like, well, Cody's guaranteed with a big finish to be next line, or if they still think he could go down to 125. So it's kind of murky with him. But I hope all that stuff I mentioned doesn't get lost in all that. This doesn't get lost. That Rob Font is finally getting himself this big top five opponent. I mean, he's in the top five himself now, so he deserves it. And he's finding himself with this big name opponent, Cody Garbrandt, former champion. And yeah, if he gets a win, I said knockout, but it could be, again, dominant, exciting three-round decision. He's in line. I don't know. I think he has the longest way to jump from all the other guys I mentioned, but there's a chance. There's a chance. And so there's big, big stakes in Saturday's main event.
Oh, look who's joining us.
Oh, yay.
There we go. A surprising turn of events. Hi, Jose.
My road technical difficulties have made it to my home. Woo-hoo. So nothing new on this end.
Unbelievable, man. Well, thank you for joining us. We were talking about Rob Font versus Cody Garbrandt, this main event, which is being completely undervalued, in my opinion. I think it's a tremendous fight. It's a very important fight at 135 pounds. So I'm curious what you think the stakes are in this fight. Are we talking potential title shot for the winner of this fight, or are we just seeing two guys, one with probably a bigger name than the other, one surging up the ladder looking to get a second big win, and they're just kind of fighting to keep the place they have in this division right now?
Well, activity is the name of the game in terms of the UFC. I mean, I know the division is kind of held up right now, but we've been saying that for a long time. Look at the top five at welterweight. None of them have fought each other. And that was the big knock on that division. It felt like the champion was the only one fighting these guys, and everyone else was kind of trying to climb the ladder without fighting. So this matchup is honestly, it's kind of refreshing. Cody Garbrandt's been tied to a lot of super fights. Obviously, he was supposed to fight Davison Figueiredo, but then he that didn't work out at flyweight, and then he went up to 135, and he fought Rafael dos Anjos, if I remember correctly, and got that one of the most violent knockouts of last year. And then him fighting Rob Font, it's a refreshing change of pace in this world where a lot of these matchups are made with the trash talking or which one will get the most money. So with the division kind of at a stagnant, with the title kind of obviously being held up with Aljamain recovering. The fact that two contenders are being active, I think, is a fantastic thing. Featherweight right now, you could say the same thing. As long as that the title is held up and the featherweights keep fighting, they can make a name for themselves. So activity is the name of the game, and this is... I wouldn't complain if someone got a title fight, but obviously with you still have to have Dillashaw and Sandhagen throw down, and then Jan has to get the fight. So this is just to keep their name right in that top three mix, and I love everything about this fight.
Casey, has this become like a middle, like a mini tournament at 135? Because like we said earlier, we don't know when the hell Sterling's coming back. We don't know when that rematch with Jan's happening. And when these fights were starting to get put together, we assumed that the winner of Sandhagen versus Dillashaw, that would be the next guy in line. But again, we have no idea when this title fight's going to happen. So has this become less of a number one contender fight for either way? Or is this more of like a mini tournament, whoever comes out of it, two winners fight? Whoever comes out of that will fight the winner when the bantamweight title fight actually goes down, whenever that is.
I don't think it's a mini tournament. It kind of should be, but I really don't think it is. I think, unfortunately for Mr. Font, of all the four contestants, Dillashaw, Sandhagen, Garbrandt, and Font, I think unless Font like totally destroys Garbrandt, you know, in one round. And even then, I don't think he'll get a title shot off it, honestly, because I think the card be, oh, well, Garbrandt, you know, he's coming off COVID, you know, all that kind of stuff. But no, I don't think it's a tournament. I think really this is a setup fight for the UFC for Garbrandt to basically be a kind of a second option to the Dillashaw Sandhagen winner. I just think that's how the UFC is going to work it. But the fight itself rules. I mean, I know you mentioned earlier kind of where's the hype behind this. And I feel personally we kind of got a little heartbroken that we lost Dillashaw Sandhagen. Was that 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago or something like that? And we have another big 135 fight coming. And I just feel like until like Jose always says, until they walk into the cage and actually they say fight, I don't think we can really get excited for it yet, because we've just been so bummed out by all these main events falling out the last second. So for me, like, I'm just like, I know they weighed in. I want them to rehydrate. And maybe about 3 or 4 hours before the fight, then I'll start getting excited for it.
It's funny you say that, because I had people like DMing me. Like, I posted something on Twitter and then I had people DMing me like responses to it. And a lot of people actually feel the opposite case. They feel like they're using Garbrandt as like the stepping stone for Font to like get him over right now, because he's an exciting fighter, but he's kind of he's one of the silence behind the violence kind of guys. Like, he doesn't do a lot of talking. He's not the most charismatic individual on earth. He's a great fighter. He's part of a great team and they bring a lot of respect to the table, but he's not like, you know, he's not the guy that you're going to get a whole bunch of sound bites from. He just goes in there and takes care of business and fights. So I really love this fight. I think it's really good. I don't think the winner is going to get a title shot, no matter who wins this one. But it definitely puts him in a good position. Let's just say July 24th doesn't happen and either Sandhagen or Dillashaw can't make it. One of those guys comes out real quick and gets a quick win. They get slotted into that spot and maybe get into a title fight in that sense. But it puts him definitely in a good spot. So before we start talking about the co-main event, because the stakes are even higher in that fight, let's go to the picks, and then we'll go to the peeps in a little while. So, Jose, your thoughts? Who gets their hand raised tomorrow, Rob Font or Cody Garbrandt?
I can't pick Cody Garbrandt fights, because I don't think we know what Cody Garbrandt's going to show up until the first punch lands. Because for all we know, we get the same Cody that fought Pedro Munhoz and TJ Dillashaw and just sees red and goes guns blazing and then gets starched by Rob Font. All of a sudden, Rob Font is the number two ranked bantamweight in the world. So this is so difficult to pick, because then obviously Cody decapitated a human being on national television and when he knocked out Rafael Asunso, and that seems like the new and improved Cody Garbrandt. So I have absolutely no idea who to pick. I think Rob Font is fantastic. I think he carries the New England flag well, and I have a feeling a few of these people on this preview show are going to pick Rob Font. So I'm just going to be devil's advocate and just pick Cody Garbrandt. And I'm just, because Rob Font, who's he lost to? He's lost to Asunso, he's lost to Munhoz, and who did he lose to?
Lineker?
Was it Lineker in Brazil, if I remember correctly?
I mean, yep. That's almost 4.5 years ago. So
yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, but he did, right? And
he, Yeah, and he's strung together a couple wins, and then it always feels like I said the same thing going to the Marlon Moraes fight. I feel like he strings together a couple good wins, and then he can't get over that quite that top five hump, and he did that against Marlon Moraes. Marlon Moraes is coming off some pretty violent stoppage losses heading into that fight, and I think we all agree probably shouldn't have taken that quick of a turnaround after losing to Sandhagen. So I'm just going to pick Cody Garbrandt based off of history. I think he's fantastic. He might just be the second best bantamweight in the world behind TJ Dillashaw. But this is every definition of a 50-50 fight for me.
Casey, your thoughts?
I'm going into this fight with the big assumption that we're getting the best Cody Garbrandt. And so I'll just lay that out there. I feel if we get the best Rob Font versus the best Cody Garbrandt, I am picking Cody Garbrandt. I do believe he's faster. He's got more finishing power. And judging by his Ascensial performance, which is more just a calm, violent Cody rather than a crazy, red, firing fire Cody, I do think Cody Garbrandt should win this fight. And an exciting, it will be a super exciting one-round back-and-forth fight, but I believe Cody will finish it.
AK.
Mike, when your brand is positivity, as mine is, you have to assume the best. So as both guys kind of touched upon already, the best version of Cody can beat anyone at 135. Is just like, again, is a champion. We know the best version of Cody is a champion. I've been very bad about getting off of trains before they derail. I'm usually the last guy off a train. It's probably already derailed. It's in the mud and the wheels are spinning. I'm still on it. And that's the case here. I'm still sticking with this Garbrandt thing. He's 27 years old. Like it's so crazy. Like how much he's already done in his career, and how we're almost some people talk about him almost like 29. Excuse me, still very young. We still talk about him almost as if like he's in the second, like the latter stage of his career, which he could still be in the thick of it. So I'm a believer he's still in his prime, and if the best version shows up, he will beat Rob Font. I think by decision. But an impressive decision, like the kind of decision that he won against like Dominic Cruz that wowed us. You know, we were like, oh, wow. We remember, you know, how well-rounded he can be. And he's not just a one punch like knockout guy. He's uniquely talented, even at 135. So Garbrandt by decision.
Wow. All three of you going with Cody. This is surprising. I mean, I can't pick Cody. Like, how can I pick Cody after all three of you pick Cody?
You can't. No, that'd be boring, Mike.
I don't know, man. It's almost like unfair for me to pick this fight because, like, you know, I've gone and seen Font spar, and like I know some pieces of the puzzle that no one's kind of knows of, like how this fight could play out. So it's almost like not fair for me to even make a pick here, if we're being honest. Having said that, I feel like if Font didn't have the Marlon Moraes win, I would probably go Cody all day long, because Font was still trying to get over that hump and get that win, because like the UFC has given him opportunities, and we mentioned a lot of them. We saw the Lineker fight. That was not a good showing for Font, and it was early in his UFC career, so I get that. Pedro Munhoz, tough fight, and then Rafael Sanso, another tough fight. But I feel like the Rafael Sanso that Rob Font fought and the Rafael Sanso Cody Garbrandt fought are like two totally different guys. Like Sanso is hard to look good against, but he's definitely on the tail end of his career. It's just, let's just be clear here. So with that said, I do think Rob Font's the better fighter. I think he'll have some volume here. And I think if he get out of the first round, I think he'll stop Cody in the second. It's just, can you weather that storm? His plan, and he said it in multiple interviews, so I could at least throw it out there. His plan is to piss Cody Garbrandt off. He wants to get him red in the face and firing off craziness, trying to get him mad. That's going to be his game plan, is to try to piss off Cody Garbrandt. And if he is successful, then he will win this fight and he will finish Cody Garbrandt in the second. So I think at some point, Rob's going to get to him. It's going to annoy him, and Cody, we're going to see that Cody, at least glimpses of him, come out, and Rob will take advantage of that because I think they're ready for that. So Rob Font, second round finish. That's what I'm going with.
I didn't see the face-offs.
Literally nothing.
There's a lot of respect between both of these guys.
Did they even shake hands? Did they even shake hands or did they just stare at each other?
They barely moved. They literally, I think they hit their marks. I think there's like, stand here, here's your mark here, here's your mark here. They didn't raise their arm. They stood. If you didn't know, you would think the stream froze. Like they just stood, stared at each other. No expression on their faces. Turned to the cameras on the other side. Done. So yeah, very respectful. It's great. We encourage it. But yeah.
Do we encourage it?
For anyone looking for fireworks. Of course we do.
Why?
We always no touching until fight night. That's what we always say. Number one rule: no touching.
They can go nose to nose and make mean faces and no. say, you know, say like
Scott Coker,
I'm gonna finish you.
No, Scott Coker hit it right at the Bellator wins on Thursday. He kept separating guys. They weren't even getting close to each other. He was getting in like ahead of time and was like, "Hey, nobody gets paid today, guys. Nobody gets paid today." It was great. So,
Scott Coker, Sean Shelby. He knows
Dana Sean Shelby. You got to learn from the man Scott Coker, right?
Yeah. Plus, Burt Watson's given the Bellator fighters those speeches before time. Like, don't get in trouble. Don't do it. Don't do it. So,
the NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility. Eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
So that's a great fight. The stakes are high there, but not as high as the co-main event. Ooh. We got Yan Xianan versus Carlos Esparza. And if we're being honest, this one is being completely undervalued too, because outside of like Rose Namajunas doing interviews and like other fighters in this division doing interviews, no one has said, like, the UFC has not come out and said like the winner of this fight's fighting for the belts. While we know, talking about it, that the winner of this fight between Yan Xianan and Carlos Esparza is going to fight for the belt, but the UFC is not promoting that whatsoever. It's kind of frustrating heading into this card. We're not getting a lot of push in the main event. We're not getting a lot of push in this co-main event. When you have Rose Namajunas, a champion that you're trying to push, her next challenger is more than, is like 99.5% coming out of this fight. So it's a good one. Why hasn't the UFC come out and said this, Jose? Why aren't they coming out here and be like, listen, the winner of this fight is fighting Rose Namajunas next?
Because the UFC probably wants Zhang Weili to fight to rematch or have Joanna get thrown in there. It's just unfortunate. Everything I said about it being refreshing, about how the main event being two top contenders fighting and with no kind of, the fight wasn't made because of bad blood or money and everything like that. I feel like the strawweight division is in a weird spot where if Zhang Weili had beaten Rose Namajunas and Yan Xiaonan had beats Carlos Sparza, you know they're going to want to do the full Chinese fight between two of the Chinese champion and the Chinese top contender. Carlos Sparza also has already fought and beat Rose Namajunas in a fight that I don't think a lot of people watched. That was obviously years ago, and Rose clearly wasn't ready. She's because everyone I've talked to a lot of people that think Joanna Jędrzejczyk is the inaugural strawweight champion of the world, which is not true. Carlos Sparza won the Ultimate Fighter and then got beat by Joanna in 185 or something like that. I think it was in Dallas in the co-main event. So, and we've said this on a million shows. I know Casey has seen her fought, and we all think we've all watched her fight, but I know Casey remembers her from the Invicta days. Carlos Sparza does not make her opponents look good at all. If you watch her highlight reel, it's a lot of fighters looking like they are not a contender against Carlos Sparza, like the Michelle Waterson fights, the Claudia Gadelha fights, the Angela. Has she fought Angela Hill? Was it one of those weird split decisions too? I can't quite remember. I feel like Carlos Sparza
fought her in Tough House.
That's right. But it's like if you look at like Verna Jandaroba, it's like same thing. Like Marina Rodriguez, I think, was a split too. So Carlos Sparza, her resume at strawweight is fantastic, but she doesn't have like any of these epic, not like, when's the last time she got a stoppage win? Was it the Rose fight? Was it like that? Was that her last stoppage win on the Ultimate Fighter finale?
Yeah, it was.
That's like exactly. So, and then Yan Xiaonan is like a breath of fresh air, but she doesn't speak the best English. So, Mike, I know we all agree that the winner of this probably should get the next title fight, but I have a feeling that probably won't be the case, especially if it's Carla, just because the UFC will probably book the rematch against Zhang Weili if Carla Sparza wins.
I get it.
Which like, is I'm weird because isn't all the fighters I just mentioned, don't they, like a bunch of them have, aren't they all managed by the same guy?
Oh, Sucker Punch?
Zhang Weili, like Carla, Rose, yeah, they're all and Carla.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like all managed by the same guy. So it's interesting. It's an unfortunate situation. But again, like, are we going to say no to watching Rose Namajunas and Zhang Weili rematch? Because that fight would be awesome too. So I don't think there's any wrong answer. The right answer should be the winner of this. But I think if they go in a different direction, it's not the wrong answer either.
Yeah. I what's interesting about Carla is, like, even when I interviewed her last year and she was like, I don't want to be sort of the stepping stone fighter anymore. I don't want to be the gatekeeper of this division. People are like, oh, come on. Like, you know, split decisions. I don't feel like you want a lot of these fights. But since Rose won the title, like, a lot of people want to see Carla fight for the belt now. They want to see that rematch. There's like a storyline there because obviously they fought for the inaugural 115-pound title. Carla got the finish, became the champion. They've gone on to different points in their careers at this point. Now Rose is the champion. Now they can run it back. So if there's any time to give Carla that push and put her into a title fight, it is now. I still don't understand why we're not going in this direction. You can always say like, hey, this is the number one contender fight, and then change your course, but at least put some buzz on the fight. You know what I mean, AK? Like, what is going on
here? That would be a lie, heck. That would be a lie.
Listen, weird things happen. Maybe there's an injury or something. Who knows?
Yeah, it's not just about giving Carla like another shot. It's also giving Rose that chance to avenge that loss. I think a lot of people will look back on that fight, and everyone is assuming they fought again. Oh, I mean, Rose will kill her now. But that's what's cool about it is that as far as it won the first fight so definitively, it's like, okay, well, let's prove it. Let's give Carla that second chance. Let's give Rose the chance to erase that record. It's always cool when champions get to erase, you know, whatever few losses they have on their record. So it would be nice for Rose to get that opportunity. When is the last time the UFC did kind of promote a fight, like did a really good job promoting a fight as this is the number one contender? Paulo Costa before the
and Romero
at Adesanya fight. Yeah, that I think that one, I think they were pretty adamant that was for the number one contender. I think they at least did a good job of saying like one of these guys.
Poirier McGregor 2 or 3?
I was about to say 3. I'm pretty sure McGregor Poirier is a number contender fight.
Maybe.
Are they building it that way?
No.
Right, but here's an example. Here's a good example. When Corey Sandhagen and Aljamain Sterling fought, it was promoted as if the next guy was going to fight for the belt. But when Sterling won, everything changed. Dana White was like, I'm not really sure. I'm ready to make that decision yet. He got a first round finish.
An amazing, like, submission of the year type finish, too.
against that guy?
According to our own Guillermo Cruz, Yan Jianan's coach has said, quote, basically agreed with the UFC that if she wins, she gets the next title spot. Basically agreed.
That's
the exact phrasing.
And we're hearing that from the coach, not the UFC, right? That's what's like. We should be hearing this from the if that's the case, we should be hearing this from the UFC. Some inkling that this is true from the UFC, and I don't know. But like we said, I think Paulo Costa and Romero maybe the last time they did a really great job saying, well, one of these guys is definitely going to fight for the title. Otherwise, they just normally don't do that. It's just not something the UFC does, which is crappy. But I mean, it's a fact, right?
Featherweight, the Korean Zombie Ortega. Did they book it, bill it like that? Maybe after the fight.
I don't think they did.
It was just kind of accepted. Like even Volkanovski was like, yeah, I'm fighting that guy.
I think this one is. I think if anyone's like paying attention to this fight, they're like, oh yeah, logically this should be the next. But again, why is there not that push, promotional push? I don't know.
Maybe they want to see how the fight plays out. What if Carla just goes in there and just shuts everyone up and gets her first submission win in how many years in like the first round? I don't think you can deny her then.
Oh,
they're definitely. But if she goes out there like I just like she's on what, a 4-5 win streak, right? Is that if I remember correctly? Yeah, aren't her last two splits, and even before that, it was a majority. So she hasn't had a unanimous decision in 2 years.
And the Verna fight, was unanimous.
Yeah, and to be fair,
the Russell fight, I thought she lost. Rules.
Yeah, and I also thought she lost the Marina Rodriguez fight too. But the Alexa Grasso fight was really good. Because Casey, I watched that at your house. That was the Mexico City fight. That fight was fantastic.
But if she beats Yan Jianan, you have like no matter how she does it, Yan Jianan is super good, and I think everybody knows that now. If she beats Yan Jianan, like you can't deny her anymore. Like you can make the argument she deserves a title shot now, but if she beats Yan Jianan tomorrow night, I don't care how she does it. I think she's done more than enough to earn that shot. But the betting lines right now, very, very close. Main event as well. Font, a -112 favorite. Comeback on Cody Garbrandt, +102. So it's pretty much pick 'em. Yan Jianan, -120 favorite. The comeback on Carla is at +110. So again, kind of a coin flip fight. So where's that coin landing for you, AK?
Oh, I'll go Yan. It takes us one step closer to hashtag Yan, obviously, which is the most important thing. But also, I've underestimated, I think, Yan Xiaonan in the past. And I think she keeps getting better and better. Almost kind of what we said about Rob Font. I know I picked Garbrandt, but kind of what we said about Rob Font. You know, so about this peaking at the right time. There you go. There's a hashtag that's sweeping the nation. So it's just let's get it trending again today. I think some of the problems that Esparza has had in her previous fights, like we said, she's kind of eked out some of these wins. I mean, again, you're only going to get away with that so many times. I think the judges, it might not go her way. So I do think it's going to go to a decision again, and I think it'll be close, and I think it'll be like a lot of Esparza fights. But I think Yan will do enough to make it. I don't want to even say indisputable, but it could be another split nod or majority nod or a close unanimous, you know, 29-28, something like that, and some close rounds in there. So I'm going Yan. I don't feel super strong about it, but I do think this round of decisions for Esparza has a limit, and I think it might hit the limit on Saturday.
Casey, what do you think? Are we taking a one-way trip to split decision city or what?
I'm going Carla. Split majority decision, whatever that is. Split majority draw decision.
technical majority split. Yeah, there's an eye poke midway to the third, so they go to the
cards. Unfortunately, the way the UFC is promoting this fight, outside of it being the co-main event for a fight night, I don't think. I think we're gonna need some sort of one of the best finishes of the year for either of these women to be seriously considered in a title fight. Unfortunately, I don't think the UFC, I just don't think Dana cares that much about these two women. I can't remember last time Dana really talked positive about Carla Esparza, and I don't think he's ever really mentioned Yan in an interview or like, oh, she's a savage, you know. It just I just don't think the UFC thinks very highly of them as far as title, as far as like selling them in a title fight. But I am picking Carla. in a decision.
Right. Jose, what do you think?
I'm going to pick Carla too. I just, everything I said before, can't remember an opponent that Carla beat that it was like her opponent looked good. Like, I know a lot of people thought she lost Marina Rodriguez fight, but including myself, and the Alexa Grasso fight was obviously a majority, and she still won. I think this could be one of those controversial ones again. It could be regardless of whether she wins by split, majority, or unanimous. I feel like we're going to be talking about this on the post show, saying, "So, how many of you guys thought that Yan Xianan won that fight?" So, I think that's how we're going to start that conversation. But Yan Xianan is fantastic. I actually think her last few wins might even be more impressive than Carla's last few wins, because Yan's being Claudia and Karolina Kovalkiewicz, if I remember correctly. And if the Kovalkiewicz fight, isn't that Karolina hasn't fought since, right? Because her eye got all damaged and her eye was like stuck. Yep. So like Yan Xianan clearly does damage when she fights. And before that, she had that. Was that the one before that? Was that the Angela Hill fight in Chicago? Yeah.
I thought
a lot of people thought Angela Hill won, but it was, I can't remember if it was split or unanimous, but
it was super close. Super close.
Super, super close. So, could Yan win 100%, but I just think Carla wins right now. She's also been more active recently. If I remember correctly, I think Yan just had a fight, what, November or something like that? But before that, it was a wild break, I think. And then if I remember, Carla had like 2 fights in 3 months at the Apex or Jacksonville Apex. So I'm just picking Carla. But I hope the winner of this fight gets the number one contender fight or gets the title shot.
Yeah, Carla's last fight was on Fight Island, if memory serves me correctly. I think that's where the Marina fight happened
in July, yeah.
Has Rose spoken publicly about wanting a rematch of Carla? I don't recall that.
She has talked about it. Like, she hasn't, like, said, I hope Carla wins so we could rematch her. But when, like, after she won the belt and she was asked, like, what's next? Should it be a rematch? She was like, I'm going to be watching the Carla-Yan fight.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
I say that because, to me, that's the only way. The only way Carla gets that rematch is if Rose sells it. And I don't think Rose is that person to try to, I want Carla, I want to erase that L, you know. But that's the only way I think Carla gets it, because I just don't think the UFC is going to, I just don't think the UFC believes in Carla as far as selling pay-per-views.
So oftentimes on these preview shows, we talk about the MMA gods and how they could be fair or unfair. And I feel like, something tells me that I'm going to be tweeting out tomorrow night, I scored this fight 29-28 for Carla Esparza, and they're going to score for Yan Xianan. She's going to win a split decision. And people are going to be on social media saying, AK, we're going to get ourselves a little robbery review on Monday. I have a feeling we're like the MMA gods are going to kind of even out the playing field in just an unfortunate way. Cause that's just how this sport works. It's not fair sometimes. Sometimes what goes around comes around. I just got this feel like there's no doubt about it. This fight is going to be a split decision. It's going to be 29-28 some way. I have no idea how it's going to go, but just to make things interesting, I have a feeling that AK is going to be hit up multiple times for a robbery review on however this fight is scored, but I'll go with Yan Xianan to get a controversial decision win in a close competitive fight.
So Carla's going to be on the other side of the decision, not bad decision, but yeah.
Well, we don't. Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
Those, I mean, it's crazy. Look at Carla's record, her recent record. I know I'm an outlier here, but like, I thought Verna beat her. I thought Verna did more submission damage in that fight. I thought Carla did beat Michelle Waterson, but it was just a horrible fight to watch. And I did think she lost to Marina and who else?
She also had the split with Gedalia, which I think some people thought she...
Yeah, I definitely thought she beat Gedalia too.
Okay, so it's kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah, but I say those things, but then at the same time, like Carla's going to win tomorrow night too. So, but by split majority technical decision, yes.
Well, I think when we're picking fights, we're not picking based on do we think Yan's better. We're just picking on Carla wins these type of fights.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm just trying to figure, I think Yan is probably a better striker than Carla, but Carla just makes her opponents look terrible.
Yeah.
And that's a skill in MMA.
That is.
Don't bet on Carla Esparza fights. Do not bet on Carla. If you take anything away from this, I would say never bet on MMA, period, but whatever. I know people enjoy it. Didn't she have a split
against Randa Marcos, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
And I think a lot of people thought she won that too.
I thought she won that fight. Huh. So do not bet on Carla Esparza fights. There's so many other fights you can bet on if you have to bet on Saturday's fights. Leave that one out of your 8-fight parlay, whatever it is you're doing, at own risk, because her fights are very, very, very unpredictable.
just real quick. Yeah,
that's not a parlay fight.
Yeah, I'm looking at Tapology, the fan predictions, and while most fans are picking Jan, I would say about 97% of people are picking a decision for whoever wins. So yep. Like I'm kind of curious. Can anyone pull up a betting line if there's gonna actually be a finish for this fight?
I would be honored and privileged to pull up a line on that.
I mean, as good as Jan and Esparza are, they are decision masters, though.
So. Okay, Esparza wins by TKO KO +1340. Wow. Zhao Nan wins by TKO KO +725. Esparza wins by submission +1150. Yeah, Zhao Nan wins by submission +900. Esparza inside the distance +675.
+455.
Go ahead.
Yan Zhao Nan winning by submission has a higher. They have a higher chance of Yan winning by submission than Carla.
Yeah, +900.
Yan has never had a submission victory in her career. And Carla Esparza has had how many? Like 4 or 5?
Yeah, at least.
And
yeah.
They think Yan Zhao Nan has a higher chance of submitting. Oh my god.
Okay, this is when things get fun.
And she's right? Her only loss has been by submission. Jan's never submitted someone, and she's only been submitted. Put more bucks down on Carla winning by submission. Why not?
No, don't bet on this fight. Do not bet on this fight.
Carla Esparza wins in round one, +1350. Round two, +1550. Esparza wins in round three, +2225. So not a lot of faith that this fight is going to be finished inside the distance. What's the decision? What's the decision line?
-500.
They must not even have it.
-5,000.
Put $5,000 in, you get a dollar back if it's a decision.
Pretty much.
I'll tell you what line looks a little enticing a just
draw?
Because of
a draw.
Mike, disclaimer.
+4,500.
Legal disclaimer at the bottom.
Don't bet on this.
Sorry, Mike. What was
Don't
that? What was that?
Yeah.
What was it?
+4,500 is a draw.
Dude.
If you're going to throw money for a draw, this might be it.
Betting stresses me. I was talking to some fans in Houston at UFC 262, and they were like, who do you think is going to win the main tournament? I'm like, well, I think Beneil Dariush has a good fight. And then they said they put like $5,000 on Beneil Dariush. I'm like, are you stupid? Don't tell me that. Now I'm stressed out.
And then like when you're watching the fight, you're like, oh god, Beneil better win.
Seriously. I just felt bad for them.
The fight goes to decision line is -355.
That's gotta be one of the lowest, you're ever gonna see. Yeah.
If either of these fighters get a finish, give them the damn title shot. I'll tell you that right now. If either of them finish first round, second round, that's third round, good. I don't care what it is. Give him the damn shot.
There is a very high chance for a draw in this fight, to be honest, because I could see Carla really holding Jan down for like a full round, getting a 10-8, and then losing the other two rounds. Like that's a strong possibility.
The most lopsided prop line is Jan Zhao Nan wins by submission in round three, +5,000.
Oh, good lord.
So there you go. Betting those are the crazy ridiculous. Betting.
Betting is ridiculous.
It is.
Don't do it.
Betting is a mug's game.
It is. All right. So we got what, like 12 minutes or so? Let's go to the peeps. While we go to the peeps, rest of the main card, we got Justin Taffa versus Jared Vandera, Felicia Spencer, Norma Dumont. We got David Dvorak versus Juan Camilo Ronderos. And we got
That is now a prelim.
What it got bumped up?
Ricardo Ramos and Bill Algeo will now be on that spot.
Excellent call. I love that fight. And then Jack Hermanson versus Edmund Shabazian's up there too. But Ben Rothwell, Chris Barnett not being on the main card is a travesty. Absolute travesty.
You guys should have seen a Beast Boy net at the wins. He was beaming smile. I have a tweet if you want to see it. It's a still, but he was that if you see that tweet, it's that. And like the whole time he was beaming, smiling, finally being in the UFC. The guy is so excited.
All right. Monster Wolf. Man in Black thinks that Carla's going by flying knee in the first round. So.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Go fly or go flying? Like, okay.
Yan.
Right? I agree. No, but I think he's making fun of Yan, saying Yan. I agree. Thank you, Kevin Lee. Thank you, my cousin, Kevin Lee.
Will Yan get her first finish in the UFC? I don't think it happens here.
Doubtful.
I'd be shocked. MMA, anything can happen, but man, I'm not picking that.
That to me, if Yan does get a finish and kind of knocks out Carla, like in a Joanna Jędrzejczyk type of violence, that could be what pushes her to the front of the line. I don't think Carla can really do anything to push her in front of to be in front of Wei Li and Joanna, outside of Rose, you know, begging for a rematch. But I think if Yan gets a really impressive finish over Carla, because that's what I think is missing from her. I think the UFC, they need that highlight reel because you got to build those promos. So I don't think she'll get the finish, but if she gets it, you know, then you know.
Here's the list of fighters who have finished Carla Esparza. Megumi Fujii, one of the greatest of all time. Yeah. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, arguably the greatest of all time. And Tatiana Suarez, a super beast who may become one of the greats when it's all said and done in future champions.
So
for Yan, that would really be something.
Because she lost to Jessica Aguilar pre-UFC too, right? And that was a split, if I remember correctly. Yep. So she's either been finished or lost split decisions.
Yes, all she's her never lost.
She's never lost a unanimous.
She's never lost a unanimous. No.
What a silly career.
That's a strange career.
That's a fantastic stat. Carla's great.
Yeah, I know.
I love it. I think that's fantastic.
She's an anomaly because I just said, I think she's lost three of her last four fights, but then I'm like, she's one of the best. I'm both ways on Carla. It's amazing.
She also, like, I remember before I joined MMA Fighting, Savs and I were at FanSided. We did Casey, I think MMA Fighting did the same thing, but in the Chicago card, we asked all the fighters if they liked the early morning weigh-ins or the old style weigh-ins. And Carla was the only one out of everyone we asked that wanted the old weigh-ins back because she doesn't really cut weight and she likes to see her opponents suffer. She was the only one. So she is just an anomaly in every sense of the word.
She's an atomweight. That's what I think led to her, especially her tough when she was in the tough house, her success because all these fighters had to cut a lot of weight. She's basically just dieting to make weight, so she just rolled through everything. And then obviously Rose just wasn't prepared, ready for that wrestling that Carla brought. But we always talk about when is the UFC going to bring in atom weights. Maybe the UFC is afraid that Carla just might run right through that division too. Who knows? I forgot about that. I forgot how small Carla is. She's 5'1", and she's not even for an atomweight. She's not that big. So that's even more. Yeah, Carla Esparza. I don't know. an unlikely great in female fighting.
Well, that was one of the things we discussed on Thursday's Between the Links, right, Mike? Was most unlikely champions. Esparza would be up there. I think she would be up there with the Oliveiras and the Mike things.
Currently, right?
Oh, sorry. Becoming champion again. I literally just did what we said. Becoming champion again, I think she would.
Carla was the number one seed in that tournament, right? Because she was the invicted champion into that.
She ran through it too.
And it was kind of confusing. But even though she was number one seed, most people who in the know still thought that Claudia Gadelha and Joanna Jędrzejczyk were actually the higher ranked fighters.
If they could have been on the show,
but neither of them can make the weight cut consistently. So that's why that fell through. If you're wondering,
her winning again would be like a hell of a story. Again, I think it'd be there with Oliveira winning his first, Michael Bisping winning his first. So her winning a second would be like, what? It'd be crazy.
Yeah, that Joanna fight did things to her too, like mentally, for sure. She didn't want to talk about that. That is a great question. Best female fight of the weekend. Wow.
That's good. That's good.
A lot of ladies fighting. Invicta, Bellator, and the UFC card.
Top of my head, it's the Zapatella Delboni fight.
Okay.
I think that's going to be really competitive and really fun.
I'm not going next. I need to look more.
Any chance even though I know everyone thinks Cyborg Leslie Smith is going to be one-way traffic, I don't care if it's going to be one-way traffic. It's freaking Cyborg. Yeah. Cherish these moments to get to watch her fight in the cage. And Leslie Smith is always in exciting fights. So I don't care. I'm super excited to see them fight. I don't care if it's not competitive. I just want to, they're both going to bring that violence. The violence may be one way, but they're both going to bring it. So I'm super excited about that. And I love the main event for Invicta. I don't know very much about the opponent, but the young lady who trains at Team Lobo with Grasso and Aldana. Oh, I forgot her name.
Rodriguez.
Carrie, what's her name?
Karina Rodriguez.
Yeah, Karina. She's
Casey,
awesome.
What was that? What was that in the background there? We heard a voice. Are you not alone? What was that? Who was that?
Yeah.
I assumed you were alone.
Yeah. Karina Rodriguez, super exciting fighter, and apparently she made weight. I know she's had trouble making 25, but she made weight good. So the Invicta card, which is free on YouTube, I think, right?
To watch on MMAfighting.com.
Yeah. Oh, MMAfighting.com. I'm sorry.
Yes.
MMAfighting.com. Don't watch those silly Bellator fights. Go to MMAfighting.com and watch the Invicta fights.
Well, you could watch the Bellator prelims on MMAfighting.com as well. I mean, you could have a little double screen action going on.
There you go.
I mean, that's what I would do. You know what I think might...
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, AK.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I insist.
Okay, I appreciate that. Okay. You know what? You know what fight's going to be like ridiculously fun, but like not as, you know, stylistically artistic? Is Valerie Lareda, Hannah Guy. Those two are just going to stand there and just swing. They're going to stand in a phone booth and beat the snot out of each other. That's the word I'm going to go with, because that wasn't what I was going to say if we were like sitting in a bar, in a bar atmosphere. But those two girls, those two ladies are going to throw down. That should be fun. But go ahead, AK. Back to you, my friend.
I think it could be one-sided. I'm hoping it's not. If it's, I think there's some potential for Felicia Spencer and Norma Dumont to be a fun fight, actually. I do. I don't think Norma Dumont is bad at all. I think the bantamweight, like her little trot adventure down to bantamweight was a disastrous idea. Clearly, I think she hasn't given up on it, but whatever she's doing right now, I don't think she can make 136 comfortably. So I'm glad. At least she's back at featherweight. We know Felicia Spencer can take a licking on the feet. So if she can't get someone down, there's going to be some back and forth there. I mean, obviously I'm thinking she does get the fight down to the ground and goes to work there, but I don't know. I think Dumont's kind of an untapped property. So that fight, I think could be more exciting than people, including myself, are expecting. Maybe I've just been reading too much now and I've talked myself into it, but I also would have really liked, I hate that she missed weight for it, but the Leah McCourt and Janae Harding fight, I think, could also be good on Bellator. It's on the prelims of Bellator. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, McCourt missed weight by quite a bit, but otherwise, I think it was a really, I remember when it was announced, I thought really good style matchup, and so that's a good one. So, man, there's a lot of good fights. A lot of good fights to begin.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the cards.
What do you think, Jose?
I mean, anytime Cyborg fights, I'm going to tune in, especially because remember the last time she fought Leslie Smith, that was when the UFC was making her cut to 140. Mm-hmm. You saw what she did to Leslie Smith. But even I remember Leslie Smith was like very angry at that stoppage.
Girl stoppage. So,
yeah. So not the best stoppage in the world. So when Leslie Smith first signed with Bellator, I thought, oh, maybe they can run the sideway. And when her ran, I didn't think it would be this soon, but I'm happy it's finally happening under the right weight class. And hopefully we can get a proper Cyborg won fair and square, but I just don't want controversy surrounding the stoppage. So I'm very excited for that. And the Leah McCourt one, like AK said, I remember I had to cover, I was working the quote unquote desk for MMA fighting during that because PT was there. It was in Dublin. And Leah McCourt was kind of thrust into the main event because I think the Gallagher, who did he fight? Who's he supposed to fight? The one that kept falling apart.
Oh, what's his name? Cal Eleanor?
Yeah. So that was supposed to be the main event, and then it fell apart, and Leah McCourt was kind of thrust into it. It was also, you know how Bellator will do that dumb thing where, like, Bellator 240 is the prelims, but then the main card is called Bellator Dublin, and it was just very infuriating because, like, Brent Primus was on the, quote, prelims with Ricky Bandejas and Beck Rawlings, but then Charlie Ward was, like, the co-main event of the main card. It was just a very bizarre scene, so I remember working that vividly because of how annoying that night was. And I think that was the last time Leah McCourt fought. So, yeah, I'm excited for that fight outside of her missing weight.
All right. Yeah, that'll be a good one. All right, maybe one more.
Oh, wow, we have talked. Okay. Okay, we're going to fly through these. Actually, I'm kind of curious about this one. Oh, it's too big. But.
What happens to the women's featherweight division after Spence versus Norma?
Is there a featherweight?
I think it's...
We get some variation of this question pretty much every time there's a featherweight fight, which is fine. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're about to usher in a golden age of women's 145ers. I sense a rush of talented athletic women in the 135 to 155 or 160 pound range declining to play more lucrative sports and instead getting into the high stakes world of MMA where they can get punched in the face and get beaten up by Amanda Nunes and Chris Cyborg for pennies on the dollar. So David's tune to Rajan. I cannot wait till we will remember this day when this epic 3-round battle that goes to a decision, fight of the year candidate, and Dana White says, "Yes, I will fund the building of a true women's featherweight division." I just had to answer something differently for once. I'm sorry. We had to, you guys can go ahead and give the real answer.
I know.
Go ahead. I always give the same answer. So there we go.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be like there just enough until Kayla Harris becomes a free agent and they take the shot at her. And if they get her, they'll do Nunes right away. And then if not, then... I don't know. We'll see what happens. Know. But
maybe
I think they're going all in on Kayla. And I think Bellator is also going to go in all in on Kayla. And I think that's going to be super fun come January 1st. Cody's going to wrestle the hell out of Fawn. He's matured as a fighter. And I think he's going to cruise through Rob. We all know Rob is great. Rob's actually a pretty good wrestler, too. I wouldn't be surprised if he shot in for a takedown in this fight as well. I mean, if Cody's smart, that's probably the best path to victory. I don't think he wants to get into a straight up boxing match with Rob, because I mean Cody's got probably more knockout power and Rob knows that, but I think if they have like a straight up boxing match, Font's gonna win that one.
I would agree.
So we'll see what happens. It's a good fight. It's interesting. Like if Cody goes in and shoots for takedowns and wears him down and wins a 5-round decision, that'd be pretty smart on his part. Ooh. This is a great fight, by the way. And it's probably going to go down in the next 30 minutes or so. Yeah. Brett Johns makes his Bellator debut. And he's got, in my opinion, this is a tougher matchup than he had originally. Danny Sabatello, who was on the Contender Series last season and didn't get a contract after running off 30-24 scorecards. He had 10-8 rounds in rounds 1, 2, and 3 on his Contender Series fight and did not get a contract. So he's got a little wrestling. Bit of a chip on his shoulder. A little too much wrestling,
Mike. Too much wrestling.
Yep.
You didn't mix the martial arts, bro.
You did. Yeah, this is mixed martial arts, Mike.
I love his response to like people booing him. Just like, you're just mad because like I'm beating the shit out of these guys so badly that you guys are, I mean, this is his words. This is a quote. So I love the fight. It's really interesting.
I have to go with Johns because I think the dude's just a wizard on the ground. But man, I will say you did the interview with Danny this week. People check that out on What the Heck. It's one of those interviews that I didn't know a lot about Danny Sabatello other than the Contender Series appearance. It's one of those interviews that I was like, I shouldn't be talked into this. Every fighter who makes a debut in a new promotion says they're going to do whatever, take over. It kind of got me, and I'm kind of like, is he right for the upset here? So I don't know. I'm picking. So to answer the question, I say Johns, but man. You guys are making a compelling argument for Sabatello, I'll tell you.
I'm picking Johns too, but yeah, watch that interview on our YouTube page by Mr. Heck. I didn't know who the heck this guy was. When I get the email, my calendar, interview for Sabatello, I'm like, who the heck is that? And then I looked him up, I was like, all right, whatever. And then he started talking, I'm like, dude, this guy's intense. I dig it. You know, I like him. And But he reminds me a lot of, in the sense of, what's his name, Kevin Holland. Not in how he fights, but how he had victories and dominant victories in Contender Series, and Dana chose not to sign him. So good on Bellator to get that, to sign him. Good on Bellator picking up Brett Johns and making him happy, apparently, contract-wise. And zero clue why this is so low on the card, but maybe it's so we all tune in early to watch it. More great bantamweights out there. That's all.
Time zone? Time zone? Would it be easier for anyone watching in the... Yeah, no, either way. It's,
that's exactly why.
Is it?
Okay, you're right.
Isn't it super late over there either way? Let me do a quick time zone check while you pull up another.
I think it's like... Yeah, it's definitely a time thing.
It's definitely like
11.
When Savas and I worked the media day, there was a lot of Welsh media calling in for Brad Johns. They were interacting in like another language too. So I think they want to get him out and in for the Welsh media.
That'd be about 11
there's some
over there. In the evening, I think, when he comes out, I think.
There's some fun scraps in this prelim. Maybe even the Alfie Davis Alexander Shabley fight's really good. But for those degenerates out there that want a betting line, Brett Johns -250, +210 the comeback on Danny Sabatello. And for those looking for the main event, we're doing Between the Links. It was -1200 for Chris Cyborg. It is now, depending on where you go, between -1600 and -4000. For Chris Cyborg the favorite.
All right, sure.
So there you go. Well, there's not a line for Leslie Smith below +925 anywhere.
Jose, if only they could have split this card up as, you know, in your favorite way, as like, oh, Brett John versus Sabatello is the main event of Bellator London 9, and then you have the main card. So, if only, or the opposite, you know, you have if only they could have split it up that way.
The UFC, they did that for the Madison Square Garden card too? It was like the prelims NYC. Were like... Bellator, like the prelims were like Bellator 190 something, and then like the main card was Bellator NYC. I'm like, stop it.
It's one card. You can't
I
do
guess,
that.
Yeah, I mean, because at the time they had different broadcasting situations.
Okay.
But it just messes up all the filing. Like, I'm trying to organize files here. I can't.
It really does.
It's like, I'm like, that's all I care about. It's like I'm like the UFC and catch weights. You know, it's like, dude, we have a chart. We have a dry erase board. We already drew the lines with permanent marker. We can't move things around, guys. So.
I remember when our old friend Danny Segura went to like the one of the press conferences in New York. He straight up asked. He goes, "Is this going to be one of those cards with two different names?" Like, he asked, and Scott Coker is like, "Yeah, I get why that's confusing." I'm like, "It's stupid. It's not annoying."
I mean, but there's a reason they do it, but just,
Yeah.
It just sucks for us.
What, you didn't want to see Bellator 259 and then Bellator Uncasville later on tonight?
Nah, dog.
All right, last question.
Michael Easter. Michael Easter is always coming in with these ones.
Nickname Fantasy League. Should Rob Font be known as Helvetica? No Times New Roman? Come on.
Dude, it's Rob Wingdings Font. Rob Wingdings Font.
Comic Sans.
Impact. Come on. Impact.
All right. I think
Comic Sans would be a fantastic nickname for a fighter because of how stupid that font is.
Just make me feel mad. That'd make me feel so mad if that was his nickname.
Okay. Oh, I know. Just because we have to talk about it. Not this should be the co-main event, but let's talk. It's just we didn't even mention this fight.
Yep.
Yeah.
I raised an eyebrow.
Madison rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I raised why an eyebrow this, I mean,
when it was first booked.
Why
but
is
like,
this fight happening 1 week?
You know what it is? The protocol COVID thing is so weird. Yeah, I got put. No. Did he have COVID or was it a protocol thing? It was a protocol breach, right? It wasn't that necessarily one of the fighters contracted COVID or did they?
I thought he.
Yeah, I think it was someone in Jack Hermance's camp had it.
Right. So they had, you know.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, who knows? We could find out tomorrow. Remember, didn't this happen with Holland and what was it? Holland and
Holland definitely had it.
Yeah, and then that they pushed it back a week, and then it's just like, oh no, wait, that was just canceled. So again, Jose's rule, right? We actually have like what 24 over 24 hours till the card still. Oh well, no, less than 24 hours now. Sorry, it's an early one. So
early and check. There was a UFC 262 in Houston, there was an Armenian news outlet there specifically for Edmund and Katlin Chukagian, and he found out Edmund Shabazzian was off the card like when he got to media day. He also, like, he was a really nice kid, but if you watch that media day stream, he had such jarring transitions with his questions that people in the media were like right, he asked Katlin Chukagian right out of the gate. He's like, so the Armenian genocide was recognized by President Biden, and then like she gave a really good answer. He goes, so you normally stick to the outside when you fight, and I was just like, good lord, man.
Oh, that's not look. That's
like everyone was just like, but like we all knew that. Like I was gonna ask the question about President Biden recognizing it because Kalinda Kagan and I asked her about the Red Square when we were on Flat Island. But once I found out that was his beat, I was like, that's all you. And I thought he was gonna have a couple fight questions and then go into it, but right into it, and all the media was like, whoa, that was aggressive, like right away.
Look, man, I can tell you when I first started interviews, I had that list of questions and I'm nervous and I just like wanted to get through all of them. So, you know, and again, this is even Scrum. You have maybe two or three questions you get out. Sure. So he's like, I got to get all these out there. So, I think you're right. I think, you know, that's good to hear. I mean, that's good to hear that at least he got his questions out there, even they didn't necessarily like, flow together.
AK, people think you're funny.
No, it's good a good dad joke. AK. Oh, my. No, I'm young. I'm cool. I'm with it, guys. Wickle, wickle, wickle. You know what I mean? I'm still cool. Make dad jokes.
I think you. I think that's a perfect way to end the show, right? With AK getting laughs from the dad jokes. Go ahead, AK. Do this. Cut it out, like Joey Gladstone on Full House. Right in your wheelhouse, buddy.
Hey, Joey,
I do love Full House.
Who doesn't?
Do it.
Do you want to say hi? Speaking of dads,
what did you say?
Do you want to come in?
Okay.
Do you want to come in?
Whoa!
Spider-Man hiding under my desk, just waiting to make an appearance. God, get it,
Spider-Man.
You make a weird face.
He was there the whole, he was there the
Wave
whole
to
time.
The people. Wave to the people. All right, go back downstairs. Okay, right, we're getting out of here. We got Bellator over at MMAfighting.com. We got Invicta over at MMAfighting.com. Lots of coverage, lots of good stuff. We got the UFC tomorrow. Pre-fight show, 3:30 Eastern time, because we got an early one tomorrow, and that makes me happy. So for AK, for Casey, for Jose, I'm Keck. Enjoy the fight tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.